Let's turn in our Bibles to Leviticus. Now let me say once again, if you do not have one of the charts on the Feast of Jehovah, lift up your hand, keep it up, and someone will bring you a chart. Turn to Leviticus chapter 23 and have your chart open as well. That might be a little cumbersome for you, but have it before you. Leviticus chapter 23. Come down, please, to verse 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. As we said at the opening of this study of the Feast of Jehovah, that for the time that we have this week, and even at that, only the night services, we can only have an overview of what is on this chart. Quite possibly with some of you, what we've considered thus far has raised a number of questions in your mind. Well, that in itself is good. We trust it will provoke you to further personal study, to open the Word, to read the Scriptures, and to dig into all of this, calling upon the Holy Spirit of God to lead and guide as He has promised He would. So I realize I can only touch upon some of these things. Some of you might be wondering about, why didn't you mention this and why didn't you mention that? Well, I'm leaving early Saturday morning. We can only do so much. And so we are compacting what we have here. We noted last night that the Lord Jesus honored Passover by dying on that day. He honored the Feast of First Fruits by rising from the dead on that day. The Holy Spirit of God honored the Feast of Weeks, 50 days after First Fruits, by coming to begin a new ministry on that day. Now I say coming to begin a new ministry. We know the Holy Spirit of God was at work in the Old Testament days and on up to the day of Pentecost. And I believe when the rapture takes place, when he who letteth or restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way, that does not mean that the Holy Spirit will leave planet Earth. I believe after the rapture, the Holy Spirit will carry on a ministry pretty much as he did before the day of Pentecost had fully come. But on that day, the Holy Spirit of God came to begin a new ministry. It was on that day that the priest offered to the Lord a new meal offering. This meal had been put into two loaves, into which were put leaven. And we pointed out that leaven speaks of sin in the Bible. How could leaven, and why would leaven be in these loaves? Because these two loaves, I believe, speak of Jew and Gentile becoming one when the Holy Spirit of God came. And I realize that the gospel came first to the Jews and later to the Gentiles. But on that day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit of God welded into one unit, into one body, all believers. And from that time forth, All who trusted Christ, Jew or Gentile, were added to that body that began on that day. And the church is a separate entity. We see this from Ephesians chapter 2. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. The Lord Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit of God in John chapter 7. He said, whoever comes to him and drinks, he will receive a well of water springing up and flowing forth. And this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. John chapter 7 and verse 39. So after honoring the feast of first fruit by rising from the dead, there came that day when he ascended into heaven, and he has the highest station. God has exalted him and given to him that name which is above every name. He's glorified in the heavens. He sat down on the right hand of the Father on high. And so when Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Spirit came down not only to be with believers, but to be in them. The Lord Jesus in the upper room, John chapter 13 through up to 17. The Lord Jesus spoke about this other comforter coming. He spoke about the Father giving the comforter. He spoke about himself giving this comforter, this parakletos. And the Lord Jesus said, when he is come, and the masculine pronoun is you. It is true that the word for spirit is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, like pneumonia. We know it has to do with wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Pneuma. It is neuter in gender. It's neither masculine nor feminine. That is the reason the translators sometimes use the word it. But the Lord Jesus used the masculine pronoun because he's a person. When he is come, he will not only be with you, but shall be in you. Now that to me is very interesting. John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate, parakletos, the same word as comforter, which tells us there is one parakletos in heaven, and there's another one here indwelling all believers. One is down here indwelling believers looking after God's interest below because we are his purchased possession. So one is here looking after God's interest below, and the other advocate, Parakletos, is there in heaven looking after our interests above until we get home. That's pretty good security, isn't it? So, on that day, the Holy Spirit of God honored the Feast of Weeks by coming and beginning a new ministry by forming the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, his body. We pointed out that we're living in this present age. We believe we're living between Daniel's 69th and 70th week. We'll read that in just a little bit. We believe we're living in this parenthesis. We believe God stopped the clock on that 490-year period of time he gave to the Jewish people before everlasting righteousness will be brought in. We believe we're living in between the 69th and 70th week. There is 1 week of years, or 7 years, left to go in that calendar that we read of in Daniel chapter 9. We're living in this church age, the acceptable year of the Lord. But God is not through with the Jewish people. Now, some, and I'm going to use the broad word, some in Christendom would have us to believe that. And if we were to ask such ones, well, if God is through with the Jews, what are you going to do with the covenants that God made to Abraham and his descendants? Concerning a king, a land forever, and a kingdom forever. And their answer would be, these covenants are fulfilled in the church. And there you have all kinds of problems. No, God is not through with the Jewish people. They are scattered over the globe because of disobedience. But God is not through with them. Now, we have read about the Feast of Trumpets. And maybe I should say, it is interesting. When we think of Shavuot, this Feast of Weeks, it is a joyful holiday in Jewry. Someone was asking me about this last night. He was asking, do they celebrate the giving of the law? The question was something like that last night. And that is true. The Feast of Weeks, which we know as Pentecost, is a holiday for the Jewish people. It is a commemoration of the giving of the Ten Commandments, or the giving of the law. And that day, or the Jewish people, is spent reading the scriptures in the synagogues. In some synagogues, the entire night is spent reading the scriptures. In all synagogues, on that day, Shavuot, the Ten Commandments are publicly read at the morning services. And just before the reading of the Ten Commandments, a verse from an 11th century poem is sung. It might surprise you. You know what poem is sung? Could we with ink the ocean fill? Were every blade of grass a quill? Were the whole world of parchment made and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And I was reading yesterday and today something that was indeed interesting to me. I want you to turn back to Exodus chapter 32, please. Exodus chapter 32. Now, keep in mind, with the Feast of Weeks, the Jewish people celebrate the giving of the law, which gendered bondage. The law can only condemn. The law cannot give life. It can only condemn. And it was at the time of the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, you remember after the tables of stone were broken and the people were dancing around that golden calf that they had made and so on. And God gave the orders that those disobedient ones were to be slain. Exodus chapter 32. I was thinking 23, but it's 32 and verse 28. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Now that to me was interesting. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? when Pentecost had fully come in Acts chapter 2? How many were saved that day? We have to be careful how we count souls. Even the scripture says about 3,000. So isn't it interesting that with that feast, the Jewish people celebrate the giving of the law, and it was back at that time in the Old Testament, thinking of the law can only condemn when it is broken, about 3,000 were slain. And yet, on that day when Pentecost had fully come, about 3,000 souls were saved. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which frees from the law of sin and death. Romans 8 and 2. That to me was interesting. But now, the Feast of Trumpets. Now, as you look at that chart, you will see right above where I have Feast of Trumpets, it's the civil New Year. Now, remember, God said back that first Passover night, this will be the beginning of days. It was a new start. The starting of a new calendar, as it were. The holy calendar, the spiritual calendar. And so we read that now we're in the seventh month, but it is the new year. We know it today, or the Jews speak of it today, as Rosh Hashanah, the new year. And we have noted, too, in looking back at the four feasts before the present age, that the fulfillment of these feasts have already taken place. Now, I realize, too, when we come to the Day of Atonement, that that has already been fulfilled. We pointed out with these two feasts that lasted for 7 days in duration each, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Tabernacles, they both were preceded by a day which speaks of the finished work of Christ. But looking back at those four feasts before the present age, these have been fulfilled. We're living in this day of grace. And as you look at the chart and consider the scriptures, think too of the amount of time that is spanned from the Passover to the Feast of Weeks. And think of the span of time from Passover even now to this present age. This church age has gone on right at 2,000 years. But when it comes to the seventh month, you see the rapidity of these feasts in that one month. That's interesting too, isn't it? Because we are thinking of that seven-year period, a very short span of time, during which these things will be fulfilled and usher in the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what we see beyond this present age on the chart is yet to be fulfilled. Now some say this feast, the Feast of Trumpets, was a memorial of the time when the nation of Israel gathered at the foot of Sinai to meet with God. Exodus chapter 19, verses 13 through 20. I want you to get that in your mind. The Jews think of this feast, or in the celebrating of this feast, they think of that time when the nation gathered at Mount Sinai to meet with God. Now, I emphasize that because the nation of Israel will be called to meet with God in a future day. Now, from the prophets Isaiah and Joel, we learn that the trumpet served as a threefold purpose. And I'll just give you the references. You can jot them down and read them. The sound of the trumpet was intended to awaken. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. You see, the people had been occupied with the harvest. They'd been occupied with so many things, and they needed to be aroused. They needed to be awakened and stirred to get ready for Yom Kippur, that day of atonement. Yom day, Kippur, from Kephar, covering, that day of atonement, when there would be a covering of sin. So, the sounding of the trumpet was intended to awaken. The sounding of the trumpet was intended to alarm. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. And the trumpet was intended to assemble the people. Isaiah 27 and verse 13. The sounding of the trumpet was intended to assemble the people for war as well as for worship. Now I said because of the disobedience of the Jewish people, and God had warned them about this. Because of their disobedience, they have been scattered over the globe. And you know, when you really stop to think about it, they rejected the Holy Trinity. I realize they don't believe in the Holy Trinity. But it is interesting, isn't it? Was it Sunday night? It wasn't Monday night, because that was our day off. It must have been Sunday night. Or Sunday morning. One brother prayed, and when he started off his prayer, he said, Elohim! You remember that, don't you? Elohim. Out of the approximately 2,700 times in the Old Testament, the word God is found, about 2,580 times, it's in the plural. Elohim. Why is that so interesting? You've heard me say it, perhaps you've heard others say it, that Hebrew differs, and I'm no Hebrew scholar, mind you. I don't know the Hebrew language. I have some information now. I'm trying to learn some of it. But I think the old adage is true. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. So I'll just have to rely on those who can speak it and know it. But Elohim is a plural noun. Now, Hebrew differs from English in this regard. In English, as you know, one is singular. To make it plural, you must have two or more. That is not the case in Hebrew. In Hebrew, one is singular, two is dual. To make it plural, you must have three or more. God said, let us, plural, let us make man. To whom was he speaking when he said, let us make man? Oh, some would say he was speaking to the angels. No, God the Son did not take upon him the nature of angels, as we see in Hebrews chapter 2. I believe in the Holy Trinity, don't you? And the Jewish people rejected God the Father. God said to Samuel, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. God sent his Son. He came unto his own received him not. God sent the Holy Spirit. And Stephen said to his brothers of the flesh, ye do resist the Holy Spirit of God. And because of their disobedience, they've been scattered over the face of the globe. God isn't through with the Jewish people. So there is coming that time when God is going to deal with his people. They're going to meet with him. Now, in Ezekiel was a young priest, and he went off into that Babylonian captivity that we've been thinking about from Habakkuk in our morning study. And God used that young priest in giving him visions of God's returning glory, looking beyond now the return to the land after the 70 years of captivity, on to the time when the King of the Jews will come to rule and reign upon this earth. When the Lord Jesus was born, the angelic announcement was, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Do you think God is going to keep his word? So God used this young priest Ezekiel in giving him visions to look beyond the return of the 70 years of captivity to that time when God's glory will come. In fact, at the first coming of the Lord Jesus, John said, we beheld his glory. And he's coming back. Ezekiel 36:24, the people will be regathered. Ezekiel 36:24. The people will be reinstated. Ezekiel 37:21. The people will be reunited. Ezekiel 37:22. And they will be spiritually regenerated. Ezekiel 36:25-28. God is going to give them a new heart, and God said, I will put my spirit in them. Now, I believe it is a mistaken idea that this present regathering is a fulfillment of these prophecies. It is true, in 1948, Israel became a nation. And so many amazing stories are connected with that event taking place. Did you know that the United States was going to vote against that? Harry Truman was in the haberdashery business in Missouri with a Jew. And knowing that the United States was at least thinking of voting against the land being partitioned so that Israel could become a nation, that former partner of Harry Truman went to Washington. I forget his name. I'd have to refresh my memory. Eddie Jacobs. Who said that? Thank you. Thank you. Eddie, I should have remembered that. And Harry Truman said something like this to his former partner, Eddie. He said, you have never asked a favor of me, but I have the feeling that you're going to ask a favor of me now. He said, yes, I am. I'm going to ask that you give audience, please, to Ken Wiseman. Harry Truman called him Chan. And as a result, and Harry Truman told him to bring him in the back way so that there would be no notoriety of this. And as a result of that meeting, we're told, the United States voted in favor of it. So many interesting stories connected with it. But these verses that I have given to you from Ezekiel about the people being regathered, reinstated, reunited, and spiritually regenerated, what we see now doesn't seem to be a fulfillment of that. It's true, Israel is a nation, and there are right at, 4 million, I believe, population. That might include the Arab population in Israel. And there are still a number of Jews making aliyah, going back to the land. But Ezekiel 22, verses 19 through 22, seem to speak of this present regathering. They are back in unbelief. It's surprising to some people to know that even those Orthodox Jews, the Hasidim, are small in number. A very small percentage of the Jewish people are religious. Oh, there are those that go to the synagogue and all of this. But so many, it's mainly a political thing with them. I remember on one occasion flying into Tel Aviv, and I was sitting next to a man from Canada, by the way. He had a big business in Canada, had a heart attack. The doctor told him to get away. He went to Israel, wound up moving there, having a farm, and I was talking to him. And I said to him, I said, listen, I understand that you fellas over here won this six-day war because you had rented the tanks from Hertz, you drive it, and had to get them back. Well, he chuckled. He said, well, now, I don't know anything about that, but I'm going to remember that. But I got to talking to him about the things of the Lord. He wasn't interested. I mean, I was talking to him about the things of the Lord from the Old Testament standpoint. He wasn't interested. You know, that's okay for those who want it. It's mainly a political thing today. But what we are seeing is heading up to that time when the people will meet with God. Now, as I said, I can only touch upon these things, but turn back to the book of Daniel, please. The book of Daniel. And look at verse 24. 70 weeks. I told you that this is Daniel chapter 9. Did I say chapter 9 and verse 24? Is that what I said? Well, I had a senior moment. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. Would you forgive me? Okay, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. 70 weeks. I told you that word in the Hebrew is Shavuah. That's the reason we have with the Feast of Weeks, Shavuah, weeks. 70 weeks, these are weeks of years. Or 490 years are determined upon thy people, Daniel's people, the Jewish people, and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. You think God is through with the Jewish people? When they said, according to Matthew's gospel, his blood be upon us and upon our children. You think God has forgotten that? When you read the law of the trespass, you read of it in Leviticus chapters 5 through 7. The law of the trespass. When a Jew trespassed against God, how was he to be forgiven? Well, if his sin was not easily determined in monetary value, the priest would place a value upon it. In some cases, it was easily determined. Maybe something was stolen, or something found and kept, which in essence was stolen. And the value was easy to determine. But if it were not so easily determined, the priest would put or place upon his trespass a monetary value. And the Jew had to pay that principal amount. So he would pay that principal amount. The priest would say, now wait a minute. Now you must pay a double tithe of that. Or the added fifth, as it is called. If it were something, using our currency today, if it were something, let's say $100. Alright, the priest would say, you must pay the principal amount, $100. Now pay another $20. You might say, well, wait a minute, that's pretty good interest. That means God received more because of the process of sin than he would have received apart from it. I don't know why God allows sin, but I know he's going to receive more glory because of the process. So he paid the 20% or the added tithe. And God, the priest would say, now wait a minute. You must offer a ram as a sacrifice. You must offer a blood sacrifice. The Jewish people said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. God hasn't forgotten that. You know as well as I do, dear friends, down through the years, the Jewish people have been paying the principal amount. It will be during those 7 years of tribulation, particularly in the last half of the tribulation, they will pay the double tithe. At the end of which, they'll have a sacrifice. The one who fulfilled the Day of Atonement. They'll look on him whom they fear. And you have already studied it. If you want to read their penitential confession and cry, reread Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And when God regathers his chosen people to meet with him, he's going to deal, it seems to me, I stand open to this. When we think of the trumpet sound, we know that Paul speaks about this mystery. And at the last trump, and I realize that it speaks of the last in a series. But listen, when God called his people to meet with him at Mount Sinai, that was the sounding of the trumpet. Is it going to be that at the sound of the trumpet we know we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air to be the rapture for us? But will it not be the time of regathering his people? So that they can meet with God? To bring an end of sin? To bring in everlasting righteousness? Pictured in the Feast of the Tabernacles? At any rate, his chosen people are going to meet with God. Because all of this has to be settled. And it seems to me, just as God gave them the law at the sounding of that trumpet back at Mount Sinai, that when the trumpet sounds to regather his people, It seems to me that he's going to deal with them on the basis of the law. This trespass must be dealt with. You've paid the principal. You've paid the double tithe. You must have a sacrifice. And they will see him who was wounded for them and for us. Well, it's wonderful to be saved now, isn't it? It's wonderful to know the Lord. And my friend, if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that you will call upon him tonight. And we stand ready to be of any help to you. But to receive Christ means to have life. It means to be identified with the Lamb of God. And it will mean for you, as it means for everyone who knows him as Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Our sins were imputed to him. He was made sin, constituted as a sin offering for us. And we are constituted as righteous in Christ. So if you haven't received him as your Savior,